All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf vav. I want to thank Yehuda for giving the daf yesterday. We're going to begin on Hey on the base. And Rabbi said we're going to pick up with the Amar Rabbi Elazar Minayin L'Mechusar Eiver, which Rabbi say six lines up from the bottom. The Amar Rabbi Elazar Minayin L'Mechusar Eiver, the Asur L'Bnei Noach. Rabbi say, how do we know that a Mechusar Eiver? Mechusar Eiver means an animal that is missing a limb. How do we know that such an animal, one is not permitted to offer it up, even for Ben Noach? Rabbi say, understand that Bnei Noach, non-Jews, Gentiles, are obligated to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Furthermore, again, a Ben Noach could also offer up a carbon. So how do we know that a Ben Noach also can't bring an animal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, Rabbi say, again, remember, a Ben Noach could offer up a carbon whenever he wants, right? Again, we have an obligation to go and only offer up carbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. A Ben Noach could offer it up wherever he wants. But even a Ben Noach has certain obligations when it comes to his carbonos. So how do I know, for example, that a Ben Noach cannot offer up a mechusar eiver, cannot offer up an animal which is missing a limb? So the Gemara says, Dichsiv u'mikol hachai, mikol basar shnayim, mikol. Amra Torah, Habei behema shechayin roshen evarim shalom. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara here makes a diuk from Noach, because the idea is that Noach has an obligation to bring, thank you, Mashiach, Noach has an obligation to go ahead and bring the animals with him on the teva. So the idea over here is the pasuk says, mikol chai, mikol basar shnai mikol. Torah uses the word mikol repeatedly. So the idea being kol, that the animal has to be complete. So the Torah, the Gemara dashens over here, the Torah tells you, have behema, Noach only bring an animal on the teva, shechayin rashe evarim shalom, whose limbs are intact. The idea being that all the evarim, all of the limbs of the animal, have to be intact. So from here you see that if the animal is missing a limb, one could not offer it up as a carbon. So Mar says, one second. Haimi baile le mute trefa. Now that pasuk is necessary to teach me that Noach could not bring a trefa. If an animal was a trefa, we'll say, now what's a trefa? Without getting into technicalities over here, but a trefa ultimately, again, is any animal which has some type of condition or some type of reality which ultimately would cause its imminent demise. Now what the definition of imminent is a discussion in the Gemara. But the idea the Gemara says is this pasuk is necessary to teach me that Noach, don't bring any animal on the table that's a trefa, to which the Gemara says, I'm dealing with the trefa. Dilo, trefa, milachios zerenafka. To which the Gemara says, no. The trefa is learned out of Bosai from lachios zera. The pasuk says, Game ofim shayim shiva shiva zachor nekeva, lachios zera. Bosai, now lachios zera, the Gemara is understanding to mean what? That ultimately, again, will have offspring. So the idea is, from the fact that Noah has to bring onto the teva animals that are capable of having offspring, the Gemara posits that excludes trefa. That ultimately, again, Noach would not bring trefas on the teva. To which the Gemara says, we'll say last line, Hayomid Beis, Hani Chalman Damar Trefa, Ini Oledes. That's fine according to the opinion who says that a trefa is not capable of giving birth. We'll say top of both, Ela Laman Damar Trefa, Oledes, Ma'ika Lamimar. But according to one who says that trefa ultimately, again, is capable of giving birth, then what do you have to say? Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Itcha. Or I should say, Itach. The pasuk says to Noach, but pasuk mikol achai mikol basar shnayim mikol tavi el ateva lachayos itach. You have to bring onto the table the animals to live with you. How do we darshan? Bedomin lacha. Ultimately, again, with animals which resemble you. Which Rabbi said means what? Just as Noach is fully, completely, physically intact and healthy, so to the animals which he brings on the teva must be intact, i.e. they must have all of their limbs, must be healthy, i.e. not a trefa. As it says, the Gemara will say, listen to this, V'dilma Noach gufei trefa hava, maybe Noach was a trefa. How do you know what Noach's physical condition was when he got into the teva? Maybe he was a trefa as well. And therefore, again, Itach tells you they can bring in animals that are trefas also, to which the Gemara says, no. Tamim ksid. The Bible says the pasuk calls Noach a tamim. Tamim means he's complete. He's complete. The Bible says the way the Gemara is saying that for, that word now is to mean what? Complete in what way? Complete physically. I bedilma tamim bidrachav haya. Maybe at the end of the day, tamim is not a statement about his physical health, but rather it's about his ways of life. Rashi says over here, Tap Rashi, tamim bidrachav anav v'shafel ruach. Perhaps Tamim, Rabbi Osai, is a statement about Noach's midos. Noach's Midos. Noach was anav, he was humble, shafal ruach of lowly spirit, to which the Gemara says, tzadik siv. No, tamim can't refer to his spiritual attributes. Why? Because you already have the word tzadik that tells you that he's a spiritual person. The dilma, tamim bidrachav, the tzadik b'masav. Maybe at the end of the day, the Torah is telling me two things. Noach was tamim bidrachav. I will say the word tamim ultimately refers to what? Refers to his midos. Tzadik refers to his maisim. That when the Torah says that Eila told us Noach ish tzadik, tamim hayabid arosav. Was there seen a tzadik and a tamim? Tzadik refers to his maisim tovim, his good actions. Tamim ultimately refers to his positive midos. So I'll just say something amazing. What do you see from here? You see that your maisim tovim come before your midos. What does that mean? We normally think midos are first. Midos, right, are everything. But the Torah is teaching us an incredible lesson. That the path to character refinement is paved through good deeds. People don't just become good people. People don't just have positive character traits. Positive character traits are cultivated. How do you cultivate positive character? How do you cultivate positive midos? Through positive, dynamic activity. Do good things, and you become a good person. I will say this is a very important yisod, because sometimes people think that the first step to spiritual growth is, you know, having a good heart, being a positive person. A person says, okay, Mamish, we speak about this often, I'm ready to become a good person. I'm ready. Fill me up with your Kiddusha. I'll even put down the remote for a couple of minutes while you fill up my Misham with all of this beautiful holiness. It doesn't work there, Rebbe. If you want to become a good person, do good things. Push yourself to do good Maisim Tovim. Push yourself ultimately to learn Torah, to be about Chesed, to be about Tzedakah. If I do good things, if I'm a Tzadik ben Ma'asav, then ultimately again I become a Tamim with my Midos. So the Gemara, incredible Gemara. The Gemara goes weiter. To which the Gemara says, it is impossible to think that Noach himself was a treifa, and I'll tell you why. Bless you, Noach, treifa hava, that Noach himself was a treifa. Amrali rachmana kabaseich ayil, shalmin lo silent. Well, say, here's what's clear. There's clearly the pasuk is linking Noach with the animals that he is bringing on board the teva. If Noach is a treifa, is it possible to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Noach to bring animals which are treifos upon the teva as well? It doesn't make sense. V'hashta d'nafgalei mi'itcha lachios, now that we're learning out ultimately again that, now that we're learning out this entire limud about the animals not being treifos from itcha, lachios zera lamali. I will say, ultimately, again, why do I need the phrase lachios zera? What does that come to teach me? Because the Gemara says, imi itcha, had we just learned it out from the word itcha, with you, hava amina, litzafsa ba'alma. I will say, I would have thought that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Noach to bring the animals on board, maybe part of the element of bringing the animals on board was company for Noach. Look at Rashi, litzafsa ba'alma, I will say, second line on top of Rashi, lamod imo yudbeis chadoshim b'teva. Remember again, the teva was a very solitary experience. Perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach to go ahead and bring the animals on board for a certain level of companionship. Umiu betreifa lo sa'ayil, shematamus ubat latzafsa. So, Abosa, if you understand that part of the element of onboarding the animals was to provide companionship for Noach, so that's why you can't have a treifa. Because if the animal dies on the teva, then the element of companionship is lost. But perhaps, says Rashi, aval zokin usris shapir dami. But again, if the animal was old, or the animal was incapable of reproducing, maybe such an animal could be on board the teva. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, vafilu zokin, vafilu sris. Therefore, kasav rachmana zera. Both say, therefore, the pasuk says, zera to teach you what? Although there might have been an element of companionship for Noach as well, the primary motivation for bringing the animals on board the teva was what? Was ultimately, again, in order to go ahead and allow the world to repopulate. Now, allow the animal kingdom to repopulate after the flood, and therefore only animals capable of reproduction ultimately were allowed on the teva. Good. So we'll say now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. Ibailu. We'll say fundamental Shailo. Shloshi Yamin. We'll say, remember again, going back to the first Mishnah, going back to our only Mishnah we've seen so far, the Mishnah told me the following halacha. That lifnei eidein sha'obdei kochavim shloshi Yamin. for 3 days before the Yom Tiv of an Akum, for 3 days before the idolatrous Yomim Tovim, one is not permitted to transact a number of different transactions with Ovdei Kochavim, with idolaters. Why? What's the concern? The concern is because the Ovdei Kochavim will attribute, well, I'll use this word in quotations, his success to his idol. Therefore, in essence, I am facilitating idol worship. Fine. Now the Gemara Sakasha. Iboilu, Shloshi Yamin, the 3 days of Osai, Hein Vi'idehen, Odilma, Hein Belo Idehen. When we speak about 3 days, is that 3 days one of those days being the actual Yom Tiv, or it's 3 days in addition for the Yom Tiv, which I will say effectively makes it what? Effectively makes the prohibition 4 days. Because everyone agrees, it goes without saying, that these restrictions will apply on the actual Yom Tiv itself. Which I will say, by the way, and by the Ovdei Kochavim, there's no such thing as a 2-day Yom Tiv. You know, I just want to be clear on that also. It's a 1-day Yom Tiv. So the Shaila is over here, the Shaila is, do the 3 days, does that include the Yom Tiv? Or that's 3 days in addition to the Yom Tiv, thereby essentially making the prohibition for a total of 4 days. So we're going to try to prove this one way or the other. Tashma, but I said, listen to this. Rabbi Shmuel says, Shlosha lifneihem u'shlosha lachareihem aser. Rabbi Shmuel says, and I will say, we'll discuss Rabbi Shmuel's shita, actually it's going to be tomorrow's daf. Rabbi Shmuel has an interesting shita. Rabbi Shmuel holds that the prohibition of 3 days is not just before the Yom Tiv, but it's also after the Yom Tiv as well. Shlosha lefneihem and shlosha la'achareihem. To which the Gemara says, Isakadaitcha hein vi'idehen. Ultimately, again, so we'll say, here's the problem. If you say that 3 days means really 2 days and the Yom Tiv itself, then Rabbi Shmuel, Yom Idein Chashav Lu Meikara, the Chashav Lehu Lebasof, then Rabbi Shmuel, it would appear that Rabbi Shmuel is double counting the actual Yom Tiv. Rabbi Shmuel says 3 days before the Yom Tiv, 3 days after the Yom Tiv. If you say that in general 3 days includes the day of the Yom Tiv itself, then Rabbi Shmuel seems to be double counting. He's counting the Yom Tiv as part of the first 3 days, and counting the Yom Tiv as part of the second 3 days. Both said, doesn't make sense. To which the Gemara says, no. I did the Tana Shlosha Lefneihem, Tana Nami Shlosha Lachareihem. No, really, Rabbi Shmuel, it's possible to say that Lemaisa, again, even if Rabbi Shmuel holds that the day of the Yom Tiv is included in the three, what he really means is as follows. It's really 2 days before the Yom Tiv and the Yom Tiv, as well as what? As well as 2 days after the Yom Tiv. But rather, the Braisa is just using symmetrical Lashon. Since it calls it 3 days prior to the Yom Tiv, it calls it 3 days after the Yom Tiv, even though what? After the Yom Tiv, it's really only what? It's really only 2 days. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Tanan Ami Shlosha L'Achareihem, Rashi says, Rabbi Shmuel, it's the first of the shorter lines. Afagav D'lesnu Elashnayim. Even though after the Yom Tiv, there's really only 2 days, because the Yom Tiv itself was counted as part of the first three, we still call the post Yom Tiv prohibition days as three as well. And the Yom Tiv is included in them. Fine. So we'll say, so still inconclusive. Tashma. Dam Raftach, Livu Barav Dimi, Amr Shmuel. This is actually amazing. Yom Echad, Lidivre Rabbi Shmuel, Li'olam Aser. We'll say, watch this. Sunday is always Aser according to Rabbi Shmuel. I will say, what does that mean? Sunday, one is not permitted to engage in any of these practices outlined in the Mishnah, the selling, the buying, the lending, the borrowing, all this stuff. Sunday is always Aser. We'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. I'm sorry. Yom Echal Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Olam Aser. Rashi says, Yom Echal Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Olam Aser. Rashi, La'asosimon Masa Umaton. You can't do business with them. Gimel Yomim Lefnei Yom Echad, Figim Lachar, Harei Kol Shabbos. So we'll say, okay, before we get to that, what's amazing is, Rabbi Shmuel holds, we'll say that every Sunday was an idolatrous Yom Tiv. Every Sunday was an idolatrous Yom Tiv. So we'll say, now watch this. Now if you hold, get ready for this. V'isakadaitcha, Hein V'idehen. Then we'll say, now okay, so let's play this out. So now, Rabbi Shmuel, remember again, this is very, very exciting. Because what's happening over here is two shitos of Rabbi Shmuel are about to collide. You feel the tension, no? Yeah. That's not indigestion. That's tension. That's tension. So Rabbi Shmuel, so listen to this. So remember, we just had Rabbi Shmuel saying that what? That in general, whenever we have the prohibition before the Yom Tiv, the prohibition also applies after the Yom Tiv. Okay, that's number one. Now we just said, according to Rabbi Shmuel, every single Sunday falls into the category of the days in our Mishnah. The Mishnah is just spoke about Yomi Dayan. Every Sunday is a pagan yomtiv, or is an idolatrous yomtiv. So we'll say, now watch this. Isakadaitcha, says the Gemara, v'isakadaitcha hein v'idayan. So okay, if you hold that the 3 days includes what? The yomtiv itself, then we're okay. Why, Rabosai? Because ha'ika arba v'chamisha dishari. Now, both say, if you hold that the 3 days include the Yom Tov itself, then what? So both say, let's play this out. So if it's Sunday, then I've got Monday, Tuesday. And remember again, before Sunday, I've got what? Shabbos. I've got Shabbos, Friday. So at least in every week, there are still 2 permitted days, i.e. Wednesday, Thursday. But I both say, if you hold Hain below Idehen, right, if you hold that the 3 days means the yomtiv, the yomtiv is not included in the 3 days, and ultimately, again, it's 3 days before, 3 days after, not including the yomtiv, then what? They're both say, then what? Then the whole week is usher to transact any kind of business with an akum. Because they both say, then it turns out, again, Sunday, 3 days before that, 3 days after that, not including Sunday, is a total of 7 days, which means there's no day in which it's permitted to go and transact business with an akum. They both say, obviously, such an idea like that would be an impossibility because it would be economically crippling, meaning at the end of the day, it's impossible. To which the Gemara says, "Alivid Rabbi Shmuel, lo kami bayli, dein below idein." So we'll say ultimately again, we're not asking with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel has his own independent shita. Ki kami bayli alivid Rabbanon mai. We'll say we're asking the shita of the Rabbanon. What is the halacha? Amar Avina. So Avina says, "Tashma ve'elu hein idein shal deiron." So we'll say. So now essentially what we've done is we've taken the shita of Rabbi Shmuel off the table because Rabbi Shmuel already represents a little bit more of an extreme shita in that remember. He's got the days before and the days afterwards. The Gemara almost says his sheet is an outlier. We're asking more in the Rabbanon, who only have the days before the Yomtiv. Do they hold that the 3 days include the Yomtiv, or it's 3 days independent of the Yomtiv? So says the Gemara, let's understand this. My Amar Avinu Tashma ve'elu hein idein she'ovdei kochavim. We'll say these are the days of the Yomtiv of the ovdei kochavim. Kalanda, Sitrunya. Kartosim. We'll say, so these are the different days. So the Gemara says, Vamrav Nachem Barav. We'll say, one of these days. Kalando, Ches Yomim Achar Tekufa. Kalando, we'll say, is 8 days after the winter solstice. So, Satrunya, Shmona Yomim Lifnei Tekufa. And Satrunya is 8 days before the Tekufa, before the solstice. Visimonech. And we'll say, what's the sign to remember this? Achar Vekedem Tzartani, the Pasuk from Tehillim. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ches Yamim Lefnei Tekufas Teves. So this is ultimately again, so it's 8 days before the Tekufa of Teves, which is the winter solstice. So says the Gemara, says Rashi, Havi V'idein Kol Shmona. And ultimately again, I'm going to say, interestingly enough, this is a Yomtiv that extends all 8 days. V'simonich Tulotema Kalanda Lefnei Tekufa V'Seshon Echfar. So says the Gemara, V'isachadaitcho Hin V'ideihen. They're going to say, if you want to ultimately say that what? That when we say 3 days, 3 days includes the days leading up and the yomtiv itself, then in reality, asara havu. Then I will say, really, it's 10 days, right? Because ultimately, again, it's 2 days before, plus the first day of that yomtiv counts as part of the three. To which the Gemara says, Tana kule kalanda chad yomuhu chashivle. But in reality, ultimately, again, the Tana holds that all of the days of kalanda count as 1 day. So says the Gemara, Amra Vashi, Tashma, Lifnei Eden She'ovdei Kochavim, Shloshi Yomim. So what Vashi says, before the Yomim Tovim of the Ovdei Kochavim, 3 days, you can't transact business with them. V'sagadaitcha hein v'idehen. And if you hold that ultimately, again, the 3 days includes 2 days before and 1 day of the Yomtiv, then what? Lisni Eden She'ovdei Kochavim, Shloshi Yomim. Then I'll say, let it write. That the prohibitions concerning the Yomim Tovim of Ovdei Kochavim is for 3 days. So maybe you'll say no, maybe it says Lifnei Idein, ultimately again to exclude the fact that you don't have to observe these prohibitions after the Yomtiv. Then, says the Gemara, Lisni Idom She'ovdei Kochavim Gimel Yomim Lifneihem. Then just simply write that what? That the prohibitions of the Yomim Tovim of Ovdei Kochavim are for 3 days beforehand. Ella Shmamina Hein belo idein shmamino. Rather, Rabbi say the conclusion the Gemara reaches, and this indeed is how it is codified by the Rambam, that Rabbi say the prohibition ultimately of transacting business with the Ovdei Kochavim is what? Is for 3 days prior to the Yom Tov, but the 3 days of Osai does not include the Yom Tov itself. Therefore, assuming that the Ovdei Kochavim are observing a 1 day Yom Tov, in fact, these prohibitions really span for how long? 4 days. 3 days prior to the Yom Tov, you just can't guess. Bad idea. So says the Gemara, therefore, again, it's 3 days prior to the Yom Tov, 1 day of the Yom Tov itself, and therefore, again, a total of 4 days of prohibitions. Good. Both say, that indeed is halacha l'maisa. Hiboylu. Both say, now we're going to drill down to some of these details, and it's really quite fascinating. Another kasha. Both say, still in the 3 days. Now we've established it's 3 days prior to the Yom Tov, not including the Yom Tov, for a total of 4 days of prohibition. Hiboylu. Why? Now both say, so now, interestingly enough, after, you know, and this in general is how Gemara works, is we like to establish halachic frameworks, and then we like to get into the reasoning. So now, we'll say, now that we've established that it's 3 days plus the actual Yom Tov itself, now the Gemara is going to ask, why? Why do we have this prohibition? What is the issue with transacting business with the Ovdei Kochavim prior to the actual Yom Tov itself? What's the reason? Says the Gemara, Hiboylo, Mishum Harbacha, Odoma Mishum Lifne Iver Lo Site Mechsho. What is the reason? Is it because of Harbacha? Is it because ultimately, again, that we're going to cause a profit for the Ovdei Kochavim? Look at Rashi just a moment. Mishum Harbacha. The Ravach, since the Ovdei Kochavim is going to profit, va'azil umodel avodas kochavim, va'avar Yisrael, mishum lo yishma picha. So we'll say, what's the issue? Is the issue here that by me giving some type of financial benefit to the Akum, he's going to go thank his Ovdei Kochavim, and therefore he's going to go thank his idol, and therefore again, I have a part in idolatrous service, right? Lo yishma apicha, Rabbi says, the pasuk that ultimately says that elements of avodas kochavim should not occur through me. So because I am causing the windfall, the Rabbi says, we'll question this a little bit later on, because I'm calling the windfall, it's almost like I'm a partner in the avodah zarah. Odilma, the other possibility is, mishum lifnei iver. I will say, perhaps it is placing a stumbling block. Look at Rashi, lifnei iver. Dimazbin le behema, this is in a very concrete way. I'm selling the Ovdei Kochavim an animal. What is he doing with that animal? He is going ahead and offering it up to his avodah zarah. And as such, again, I am placing a stumbling block in that I am facilitating and enabling his worship of avodah zarah. Rashi says, "Ubnei Noach nitztavu aleh." What we learned about this, one of the Shem Mitzvos B'nei Noach is that Ovdei Kochavim are not permitted to worship Avodah Zarah. So if I sell him an animal that he then uses for idolatrous service, I am facilitating his Avodah Zarah, which is Lifnei Iver Lo Site Mechsho. Unihid Amran Amad V'tiron Miu Al Yavru Al Yodecha Shari Asidin Hein Lite Nesadin Al Shein Mekamin Osan Vafa Pishen Len Schar Biki Yuman Vahani Ka'avri Yisrael Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Site Mechsho. So Mosai, even though we saw, there's this whole discussion, we just lost in the Skimara, there's a whole discussion, do the Ovdei Kochavim, are they bound by the Shem Mitzvos anymore? Even if you say they are bound, there's no schar, it doesn't matter. The point is, I can't be the facilitator even of a Gentile's prohibition. So we'll say, see here the shayla, it's really a fundamental shayla. What is the issue? And we're using a very simple case. Misha tells me, I can't sell an animal to an Ovdei Kochavim for 3 days before his Yom Tov. Why not? So two possibilities. Either Mishum Harvacha. So we'll say Mishum Harvacha, the Gemara understands that he's going to profit. And because he's going to profit, therefore again he's going to thank his Avodah Zarah. Because he's going to thank his Avodah Zarah through something that I did, the issue is, it's almost as if I am Chas V'Shalom participating in the worship of Avodah Zarah. Or is it Lifnei Iver Lo Site Mechsho? I am placing a stumbling block in front of him, because Rabbi says he's not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah either. And by me selling him the animal, giving him ultimately again the very necessity for idolatrous karbanic service, I am placing a stumbling block in front of him to worship Avodah Zarah. So says the Gemara, the man of Kamina. Someone says, so tell me, what's the Afkamina between those two approaches? I'll tell you Afkamina. Listen to this. The Islay Behema Lidide. What's that tell you? Let's say again, he has his own animal. He has his own animal. E Amrit. Someone say, he already has an animal. E Amrit Mishum Harvacha. If you ultimately say that it's because of us, say ultimately a prophet, then ha kamaravachle, then Abba say ultimately again, I'm still profiting him. Meaning at the end of the day, even though he has his own animal, by me selling him the animal, I am still giving him more quote unquote profit. So I'm going to say, if it's a din in profit, meaning if it's a din that when he gains something, he's going to give shevach to his avodah zarah, so whether he has one animal, 10 animals, 25 animals, if I ultimately give him another animal, then what? Then ultimately, again, I am going ahead and facilitating or participating in his avodah zarah. However, again, if he already has animals, Rabosai, then there is no lifnei iver, for he already has what he needs in order to worship avodah zarah. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Now this, by the way, is a major, major sugya. I'm not going to do it justice, but at least I'll whet your appetite for it. Now the Gemara just said something very profound. The Gemara said like this. The Gemara says that let's say we'll call him Akum. Let's say Akum already has an animal. Already has an animal that is fit for idolatrous service. And what? I decide to sell him, right? He asked me to sell him an animal, and I sell him an animal. So the Gemara says, Mishum harvacha, it's going to be a problem. But lifnei iver is not a problem. Why is lifnei iver not a problem? We'll say, why? Why? Because he already has, I'm not placing a stumbling block. I mean, I'm not effectively doing anything. He already has an animal that he could worship, that he could offer. I'm not doing anything. So the Gemara says, really? If he already has the animal, meaning if he already has what he needs, and I give him something additional, that's not a problem of lifnei iver. But Tanya, Bosa, listen to this. We learned. This is amazing. Amazing. I'm Rabbi Nassan. I'll say, Vav Amud Beis. I'm Rabbi Nassan. Minayin shalo yoshit adam kos shal yayin lenazir. Ve'ivre minachai livnei noach. Bosa, from where do we know that a person shouldn't extend wine to a nazir? Right, we'll say, so my friend is a Nazir, I shouldn't extend him a glass of wine, or Eiver Minachai. Well, Eiver Minachai means a limb that is ripped off a living animal, even a Ben Noach. It is not permitted to eat that. How do I shouldn't extend it? Talmud Lomar, V'lifnei Eiver lo sitei michshol. Because the Pasuk says, do not place a stumbling block in front of a blind person. V'ha'acha, dechilo ya'avinan le, shakle ihu, v'ka'avar mishum lifnei Eiver lo sitei michshol. Now, in this case over here, even if I don't extend the cup to the Nazir, what could the Nazir do? What could the Nazir do? He'd take it himself. Or if I don't extend the Eiver Minachai to the Ben Noach, what could he do? He could take it himself. And yet, what do you see? You see that you're still in violation of Lifnei Eiver Lo Sitei Michshol if indeed you extend it. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here, it appears that even if the Akum could do something on his own, or for that matter, has something on his own, if I still give him the opportunity, even though again he could have had that opportunity on his own, lemaisa again, I am still in violation of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. To which the Gemara says, "Hachom askina no." We'll say, and this is very profound. V'koy betrei avri dinara. We'll say, says the Gemara, no. When is one in violation of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol? Only a case in a saying, what, which kind of case? Where we are standing on two sides of the river. Look at Rashi for just a moment, Rabbi Osei. The Kayabu Shay Avi Dinara, 3 lines out from the top in Rashi. Oved Kochava Mitzadze, V'Yisrael Mitzadze. Rabbi Osei, when am I in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol? Only when I'm on one side of the river, and the Akum, or the Nazir, is on the other side of the river. V'I Lo Yohev Le Lo Masi Shakil. Rabbi Osei, the Gemara says, no, the only time you're in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol, Rabbi Osei, is when the Akum could not have done something without me, and I allow him then to do it. That's when I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver. Dekanami Diktani Lo Yoshit Velo Katani Lo Yitein. Therefore, we'll say, even if you're Medak, the Pasuk says Lo Yoshit. Lo Yoshit means what? You should not extend. As opposed to Lo Yitein, which Rabbi Osei means what? You should not give. So we'll say, Sate is something absolutely amazing. And this indeed, by the way, is in fact Halacha Lemaisa. Rabbi Osei, what does this mean? That one is in violation of Lifnei Iver only if one facilitates the commission of an Aveira, when the person who is being offered the Avera cannot have performed the act without me. But if the person could have performed the act without me, and I facilitate it, it's not good, but I'm not in violation of Lifnei Iver. So we'll say this is an incredible yisod. In Halacha, we call this Tre Avri Dinara. Tre Avri Dinara means two sides of the river. So if I facilitate, right, if the Nazir didn't have access to the wine, right, the wine is under lock and key. And what happens? I open the lock, then I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver. But if the wine was sitting on the table, and I moved the bottle closer to the Nazir, it's not a good thing, but because he had equal access with or without me, I am not in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mechshav. Also, it's a very profound yisod, and indeed halacha lemaisa, to which the Gemara says, Shema Mina. Indeed, see from here that one is only in violation of Lifnei Iver when, ultimately again, where my facilitation enables the individual to violate, and without me, violation of the particular Avera would not have been possible. But a violation of the Avera would have been possible even without me, I am not in violation of Lifnei Iver. We'll say, take a quick glance at Tosis. Tosis says over here, it's the top Tosis ultimately of Minay Shal Yoshit Adam Kosel Yayin L'Nazir. So Tosis says, Nira Duadim B'chol Shari Surin. So the truth is, the fact that the Gemara uses the example of Yayin with a Nazir is just an example. He says it's true with any other Isurim as well. Elohachi Naket Kos Yayin L'Nazir. Both say, this is amazing. Mishum Dimistoma L'Mishti Kaboyle. Kevin Du Kuli Alma Chamru Shasu. Tosis says the reason why the Gemara uses wine is because wine, in generally, what do you do with wine? You drink it. I was about to say, wine is one of those things where it's clear that a person is going to consume it, a person is going to drink it. However, again, the Gemara says, Aval Yisrael Shamar, listen to this, Hoshet li nevela, o chazir, or shum davar iser, ein l'choshto mi l'choshet lo. So we'll say, listen to this. This is fascinating. Tosef says, as opposed to a case where, let's say, a Jew asks me, do me a favor, pass the chazer. So we'll say, am I allowed to pass the chazer? So Tosef seems to say the answer to that is yes. Why? Because if a Jew asks me to pass the chazer, I do not have to be choshesh that he's going to consume it. Why? Because there are other things you could do with chazer besides eat it. I'm not sure what, but apparently there are other uses. He could sell it. He could give it away, you know, as a holiday present to his. I'm sorry. He could throw it, right? Good. He could give it to his dog, right? I mean, there are other uses for it. So we'll say this is amazing. Tosis says it's dafka by wine. The nazir case of wine is always the most paradigmatic case for Lifnei Iver, because if the nazir is asking me for wine, Rabbosai, wine is something that is usually immediately consumable. But again, if, let's say, a Jew were to ask me for something else that is a davar ha'asur, I can pass it to him, and I don't have to be choshish that he's going to do an issur with it. However, again, avalim yodua lo, sharotza lo ochlo, asr lo hoshit lo, vafilu hu shalo. Now, obviously, if I happen to know that, unfortunately, this is a Jew who is not yet careful with the laws of kashrus, and therefore does consume chazer, then I'll say, ultimately, again, I could have a big problem with passing him something. So we'll say, by the way, I just want to point out, this is exceptionally important to halacha. Why? Because sometimes a person goes out for business lunches, right? And so it could be that I'm going out for a business lunch and I'm going to a non-kosher establishment, which, by the way, I will say, just as an aside, is okay for a Jew to do. But again, I will tell you, wear your yarmulke. People often think that when they go into a non-kosher establishment, it's better to take off your yarmulke. Fakert. It's just the opposite. If you have to go into a non-kosher establishment, it is much better to wear your yarmulke. Because if a person wears their yarmulke and it's good, they're Jewish, people understand that people go to all kinds of places, ultimately for business lunches. Person takes off their yarmulke, it looks like what? Looks like something much more sinister is going on. But a person finds himself in that kind of situation, Tosis is saying about say, it's not pashit to pass something to another Jew if that other Jew is consuming ma'achalos asuros. Person has to be careful with that. It's not technical Lifnei Iver. Now that we know why it's not technical Lifnei Iver, I will say why? Right? Because that's Trivi Dinari, meaning the guy can reach over me and grab it himself. I'm just trying to be polite. Tosis seems to say, Rabbosai, that it is better to avoid those types of situations as well, which makes sense in the spirit of the law. Anytime I could avoid the facilitation of someone else's Avera, that is absolutely better. All right, so Tosis goes on. He He says, "Lefizia asher lahoshit lemumrim la'avodas kochavim davar iser afar pi shehu shalohem ki adavar yadua shiochlu funesalam ki yisrael gamar chashinalu umari b'tikay b'makom shlo yuchal likach." So again, Tosfos always says, "Rabbi, lifna iver only applies in shrei avri dinara. Only applies in a situation where there are two sides of the river, and again, the person couldn't do it without my involvement or without my help." But Rabbi says, "But again, just an important halacha to know." In any event, going back over here, so back to the Gemara. So Rabbi says, the Gemara doesn't really end off. The Gemara doesn't really end off ultimately again with a conclusion in this respect. The Gemara really points out that there are these two possibilities as to what the nature of the prohibition ultimately is with the 3 days prior to the Yom Tov. Is it a din of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol, or is it a din ultimately again in Harvacha? The issue is, if it's a din in Lifnei Iver only applies in the case of what? Trei Avri Dinara, where you're on two sides of the river, i.e. without me, the Akum could not have performed, the Akum would not be able to get a hold of the animal. So obviously, but it would appear, even in a case where it's not a din of Lifnei Iver, there would still be an issue of Harvacha. Good. Both say, let's go back there. Nosa v'nosan mai. They both say, what happens? Now the Mishnah tells me, so also let's go to what we established. We've established, number one, that the prohibition for 3 days is what? Not just, it's 3 days in addition to the actual day of the Yom Tov itself. They both say, what happens if I violate? I did it. I went ahead and I transacted business with the Akum during the 3 days. So both say, now what's the Shaila? What's the status of the money? So I went ahead and I sold the Akum a shar. I sold him an ox. I sold him for $500. So I violated the rabbinic prohibition. Now what's the shayla? Is the money asur bano or not? Can I get benefits from the money or not? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan amar nasa v'nasa nasa. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you violated, ultimately, again, the proceeds are asur. Reish Lakish amar nasa v'nasa mutter. Reish Lakish says, no, if you violated, the proceeds are mutter. So we'll say fundamental machlokes. Eis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is the kash Reish Lakish. Idein she'ovdei kochavim. When it comes to Yom Tov ovdei kochavim, nasa v'nasan is asurin. If you went ahead and you in fact conducted business during this time, the proceeds are asur. My lav lifnei idein. Does that not mean if you went ahead and you conducted business prior to the Yom Tov, the proceeds from that transaction are asur? To which the Gemara says, lo idehen dafka. No, Rabbi say what it means is what? It's only if you dafka go ahead and conduct business on the Yom Tov itself. So now what's interesting is as follows. The Gemara is making a distinction between business transacted, which makes sense. Now that we've established that the 3 days are an independent period of time prior to the Yom Tov, the Gemara is almost making a distinction between business transacted on the Yom Tov itself versus business transacted on the 3 days before. And it's possible that what? That business transacted on the 3 days before, those proceeds will be permitted. But business transacted on the Yom Tov itself, those proceeds will be prohibited. Ika da'amri. There are those who will say a different version of this. If you transacted business on the Yom Tov of the Kochavim, the proceeds are aser. Idehen in dafka on the Yom Tov itself, the proceeds are aser. Lifnei idehen lo. But Rabbi says ultimately, again, before the Yom Tov, it'll be permitted. So the Gemara says lifnei idehen lo. Tana idi v'idi idehen karilei. I have another bracha that says both are called the Yom Tov, both before the Yom Tov and the Yom Tov itself are both called the Yom Tov. Tanya Kavase de Reish Lakish. Both have a bracha that supports Reish Lakish. Kisha Amru Asra Laseis for Laseis Imohen. When we said that you can't transact business with an Akum, Lo Asru Elo Bedavra Hamiskayim. This is very interesting. The only prohibition I'm about saying now is with what we call a Davar HaMeskayim. I'm about to say, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's in the short lines of Rashi, 3 lines in. Lo Asru Elo Bedavra Hamiskayim. Ad Yomidei. I will say it's only prohibited to transact business with something that will last until the Yom Tov itself. Because I will say if the item is able to go ahead and last until the Yom Tov itself, so then the Akum will give thanks to his Avodah Zarah on the Yom Tov itself. However, but ultimately again, but with something that I will say that will not last until the Yom Tov, you could transact business with the Akum even in the 3 days prior to the Yom Tov. And I will say even with something that will last, nasa v'nasan mutter. If you went ahead and you did transact business, the proceeds are mutter. Tani Rav Zavid Bid Rav Oshia Davershein Miskayi Mochrin Lohen Aval In Lokin Mehen. We'll say, Rav Oshia said that when it comes to a Davershein Miskayim, ultimately you could sell it to them, but you can't buy it from them. So Humina, so we'll say, now the Gemara tells a story. There was a min, right? There was a particular Obed Avodah Zarah. The Shadr is an interesting case. The Shadr La Dinara Kisrana Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. So we'll say this particular min sent Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. We'll say Rabbi Yehuda Nesia is not the same person as Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Rabbi was the grandfather of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. So there was a min, there was a particular idolater who went ahead and sent a gift to Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. He sent them a coin. He sent them an expensive coin. So Rashi will say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Kasrino, Dinar Mitzura Chadasha, Shepasal Kesar Asarishona, the Gazer Al Zu. So we'll say, ultimately, again, so what happens is sometimes the Caesars, especially when a new Caesar would come to power, they would go ahead and invalidate the previous currency. They would mint their own new currency. So apparently, new Caesar came to power, and this min sent Rabbi Yehuda Nesia this brand new coin. Okay, so what happens? Biyomido. Now, what happens? He sent him this gift on the Yom Tif. So apparently, this min sent Rabbi Yehuda Nesia a brand new coin on the actual Yom Tif of the Avodah Zarah. So what happens? Havi Yasir Reish Lakish Kamei. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia was sitting before Reish Lakish, and he said, "Amar Hechi Avid, what should I do with this gift?" So we'll say, so what has effectively happened over here? Rabbi Yehuda Nesia has received a gift from an Akum when Rabbi say when on the actual Yom Tov itself. So he says, Reish Lakish, what should I do with the coin? So Rabbi Yehuda says the Gemara, "Hechi Avid, Ashkale, if I accept it, Azil Umoda." Ultimately, again, the Akum will give thanks to his Avodah Zarah. Lo ashkele, if I don't accept it, havile eva. They both say, we're going to talk about this extensively in Maseches Avodah Zarah, about eva. They both say, eva means certain things that I have to either do or refrain from doing in order to what? In order to avoid animosity with the Gentile nations, with the Gentiles. They both say, eva is a function of galus. Eva is a function of galus. So at the end of the day, I live amongst Gentile nations, and I have to be careful ultimately what I do or what I don't do in order not to stoke the fires of animosity with my Gentile neighbors. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia seems to be in a quandary. If I accept it, he's going to give thanks to his Avodah Zarah. If I don't accept it, I have the capacity to stoke the fires of animosity with my Gentile neighbors. What should I do? Rabbi Yehuda, listen to this. He's talking to Reish Lakish. I'm really Reish Lakish. Tol. Here's what you should do. Take the coin and throw it into a pit in his face. In front of the Akum. Okay. Maybe you didn't hear me on this. Right? The other side of this is the Eva. Amr Kosh came to have believe what it took me. If I'm afraid about animosity, can you imagine I take this brand new coin? Understand something. Let's assume for a moment that the intentions of the min were good, right? The min is sending Rabbi Yehuda Nesia a gift. He's sending him a gift. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia is the head of the Jewish people. He's sending him a gift, meaning this is a bakava dika thing. I'm sending you the newly minted coin. When the Caesar comes to power, like it could be that he also mints like a couple of, you know, what do they call it? Like limited edition, you know, limited edition Caesar's coins. I'm giving you the limited edition Caesar's coin. So this is a big covet. I'm going to take it, throw it into a pit in his face. It's not exactly very good. No. Reish Lakish means kila achar yad hukamina. Reish Lakish says, now here's what you have to do. You have to go ahead and accept it from the min. And then you have to try to figure out how to lose it. But how to lose it in a way that makes it look like an accident. Rashi says, Kila achar yad, shelo yovin, shemidas hishlachto. You could accept it, but then ultimately, again, try to figure out a way to lose it in a way that makes it look like, an accident. That's the idea. Make it look like an accident. Shelo yovin, shemidaitu hishlachto, v'chevin shirosh, sh'avid mimcha, lo yismach. Ultimately, again, receive it, make it look like an accident that you lost it, and therefore the Akum will not realize what happened over here. But because at the end of the day you don't end up retaining it, the Akum won't have the simcha and praises of Avodah Zarah that the head of the Jewish people accepted the coin. Okay, so we'll say, so bottom line, by the way, just let's close out the sugya. So how do we pass? And we'll say, what? So now that we've established that the prohibition to conduct business with the Ovei Kochavim applies for 3 days, not including the Yomtiv itself, 3 days prior to the Yomtiv, we'll say, what happens if I violated and I did conduct business? So we'll say, what is the halacha? Are the proceeds mutar ba'ana? So the answer is, it depends. During the 3 days prior to the yomtiv, the proceeds are mutar. But if you transacted business on the yomtiv itself with the akum, then what? The proceeds are asr. So on the 3 days before, proceeds are mutar. The day of the yomtiv itself, the proceeds are asr. Weiter. We'll say, so remember again, now we're going to go through the Mishnah. Lash ilan v'lisham. So remember again, the Mishnah said that I can't lend the akum something, nor can I borrow something from him. Bishlam alash ilan. I understand why I can't lend something to the akum, the kamar v'chlu, because ultimately the akum will be besimcha, because now he's just acquired something and he'll give thanks to his avodah zarah. Aval lishol mehen miuti kamaritlu. But I don't say, why can't I borrow something from him? If I borrow something from the akum, the akum now has less. Why would that go ahead and generate a praise to his avodah zarah? So let's listen to this. Amar Abaye, Gezeira lishol mehen atu lashilun. So we'll say, Abai, inach inam, you're right. The real prohibition, the real thing we're concerned about is that you shouldn't come to lend something to the akum. But we're concerned that if we let you borrow, you may come to lend as well. Rava Amar, Rava says, kula mishum da'azil umodu. Rava says, no, all of this, I will say, is ultimately, because even at the end of the day, if you borrow from him, he will still give thanks to his avodah zarah. Why will he still give thanks to his avodah zarah? Look at Rashi. Kula mishum demodu sheovi kochav nismach ki sheyisrael tzarich lo. Both said the idea is if the akum lends the Jew, that is a cause for simcha. Because what does the akum say? Look, the Jew needs me. The Jew needs me. The Jew is even dependent on me. Therefore, the act of the Jew borrowing from the Akum, so we'll say, if I lend the Akum, so he's besimcha, why? Because now he has more. And if I have to borrow from the Akum, he's besimcha, why? Because the Jew is dependent on him. So therefore, again, either way, it's asur. La avosim or la avos man. So we'll say, again, the Mishnah said, I can't lend the Akum money, nor can I borrow. And we'll say, again, remember, all this is in the 3 days, and obviously on the Yomtiv itself. Bishlam ala havosam misham de kamaraviklu. I understand why I can't lend money, because then the Akum has more money. He'll go and get it and give thanks to his avodah zarah. Elo lilvos man amai. Why can't I borrow money from the Akum? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, gezera lilvos man atu lahavosam. So we'll say the same thing. Abaye says, you're right. The Iker prohibition is to lend money to them, but we're concerned that if we let you borrow from them, you'll come to lend from them, you'll come to lend to them as well. Rava Amar, kula mishum da'azilu modulu. We both say same thing as before. Rava says, no, you can't borrow money from them. Why? Same idea. Because that's also a cause of simcha for the Yaakov. We both say, why is it a cause for simcha? Because the Yaakov is besimcha, that the Jew is dependent on him. Lifroa mehen. We'll say ultimately again, to pay them, and to go ahead and to extract payment from them. Bishlama lefaron. So we'll say, I understand why I can't pay the Ovid Kochavim in the 3 days. Misham de kamar v'chlu. Because we'll say ultimately again, he's going to benefit. Ela lefroa mehen. But I will say, why can't I extract payment from them? Mi ute memaitluhu. Again, I will say, second wide line. This meaning, again, the Akum has less. If the Akum has less, he's not going to praise his avodah zarah for that. Amr Abaye, so we'll say same thing. Abaye says, Gezeira lefromehen atu lefaron. Enochinami, but we're concerned that if we let you extract payment, you may come to what? You may come to pay. Rava Amar, kula mishum da'azil umodu. Rava says, no, Rabbi Osei, same idea. Rabbi Osei, in this case, it's a little bit different. Rava says, because again, the truth is, you know, when you owe something to someone, there is an incredible simcha when you pay off that debt. So Rabbi Osei, again, there's a burden that's lifted off your shoulders. And therefore, again, a person may come to go ahead and be moded to his avodah zarah as a result. So Gemara says, Uzuchi, Rabbi Osei, now if you notice, by the way, pretty much all of these cases are the same. Machlokes Abaye and Rava. Right? That obviously any time that the Akum, so to speak, benefits or profits, That's obvious that it's aser. The Mishnah comes to teach you that even when the Akum, quote unquote, loses, so to say, I'm using that word in quotations, meaning he is diminished, he also can't do it. Machlokas Abayi and Rav in all these cases. Abayi says, in the diminution case is lest you come to benefit him. Rav says, no, because even in the diminution case, there's either a reliance on the Akum, or the Akum is happy and he pays off his debt. But the point is, why don't you all of these cases? Utrichi. So say if the Mishnah would have just taught the case of conducting business with the Akum, Mishum de Karma Vechluhu Va'azlumoda. Because in that case, the Akum is benefiting. That's why he gives thanks to his Avodah Zarah. Avalishloman, but to borrow from them, Dimi Uti Kamemaitlu, Shapir Dami. And I will say, but in the case of borrowing where I'm actively taking something from the Akum, I would have thought that it's prohibited. V'Tanalishloman, if we would have just said the case of borrowing from the Mishum de Chashivale Milsa, because borrowing from the Akum is something Chashiv. And I was about to say, when I borrow from the Akum, that's Chashiv from the Akum, that a Jew is borrowing from the Akum. Va'azulamoda, and therefore he's going to go ahead and give thanks to his Avodah Zarah. Avalilvosman, but I will say, ultimately, again, to borrow from them, Sara ba'alma islay. Ultimately, again, it's just sar. Amar tuv lo hadri zuzei. It's because the Akum says, well, maybe at the end of the day, I'm not going to get back my money. V'tana l'lavos mihen. And if it says the prohibition about borrowing from them, mishum to come about karchi mifarano, I'll go and get back my money forcibly from the Jew. V'hashta mia azulamoda. And therefore, again, I can give thanks to my Avodah Zarah. Avalifra mehen. But I will say, ultimately, again, to extract payment from them, the su lo hadri zuzei, the non-Jew is not, the Gentile, excuse me, the Oveg Chum is not going to get his money back again. Eimat sara islay velo azilamode. Maybe that's sar, and therefore he won't give his Avodah Zarah thanks, therefore tzicha. So we'll say, bottom line is, we need all of the cases, even though, again, it seems to be the machlokis abayin rav, I will say, is the common theme throughout all of them, but each case represents its own unique aspect, therefore we need all of the cases. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nefrani, I will say, remember again, Rabbi Yehuda holds that what? That you can collect payment from the Akum, even 3 days before his Yom Tov. Why? Because also Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that repaying a debt, there's no simcha in that. There's no simcha, right? There's only a loss of money. Therefore, again, you could do that from the Gentile or from the Akum, even 3 days before these Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, V'lesei v'Rabbi Yehuda, afa pisha meitzer achshav sameichu la'acharazon. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. The Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda seem to have a fundamental machlokas. Everyone agrees that when you pay back a debt, Rabbi will say, what effectively happens? When you pay back a debt, what effectively happens? You have less money. Okay. The Rabbanon say, so Rabbi Yehuda says, because I have less money, that's my focus, and that gives me tzar. That doesn't give me simcha, that gives me tzar. The Rabbanon say, even though you have less money now at your disposal, nevertheless what? You're happy, why? Because the debt is lifted off your shoulders. So Rabbi said, the Gemara says, does Rabbi Yehuda not subscribe to this idea? Does Rabbi Yehuda not agree with the Rabbanon? Does he not subscribe to that shita or to that ashkafa? That even though it's a little bit of a pinch now, even though it's a little bit of a time, I have less money now, but sameachu la'acharzman, I'm happy later on because now Rabbi say what? So now I feel a little bit of a shtickle pinch right now. But at the end of the day, I'm really besimcha because this load is lifted off my shoulder. V'atanya. Rabbi say, here we go. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Isha lo sasud b'moed b'meshen nivalehula. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi say, that a woman should not apply sud. Rabbi say, sud literally means like a plaster, but it really means like a depilatory. Right? That women would use these kind of creams that ultimately would remove hair, but would also make the skin look very beautiful. The problem is that when the cream was on the skin, it burned, it was very uncomfortable. So Rabbi say, the idea is, on chalamoid, a person is not supposed to do anything that causes tsar. So the Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda says, a woman should not go ahead and what? Put on the cream on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, b'pnei shenivu hula. Ultimately, again, because it was also at the time, it makes her look disgusting. Rashi says over here, lo sasud, lo titin sid al paneh b'moed, b'pnei shenivu hula, ba'odo al paneh. Makes her look unattractive when the cream is on her skin. Va'af api kishenat losa ma'adim u'matzi al paneh. Even though when she removes the cream, it'll make her face look more beautiful. Kevan da'anozu eina ela ad la'achar ha'moed, v'nivu l'basach ha'moed aser. So we'll say the keys over here is, she shouldn't apply the cream that's going to only be removed after the Yom Tov. Nishnivuhula. Umodi Rabbi Yehuda, besid shi'echola l'kaflo b'moed, shetofalso b'moed. Listen to this. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? A woman can't apply a kiman chalamoid that she's only going to take off after chalamoid. Why? Because she's causing herself tsar now on yomtiv. Even though again after yomtiv it'll be okay. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's a type of cream that what Rabbi say can be applied on chalamoid and what? Taken off on chalamoid, so that it's okay. Even though there's some temporary tsar, because ultimately, again, it's for the purpose of some future benefits. So what do you see from here? That Rabbi Yehuda holds, Afa pisha meitzer achshav, what's the lashon? Sameachu la'achar zman is permitted. Even something that is temporarily painful, as long as it causes simcha afterwards, Rabbi say, now we're seeing this by chalamoid. Now, seemingly, what is the Gemara asking? If that's case, Rabbi Yehuda, you should agree with the Rabbanon that you can't collect payments from an akum 3 days before his yomtiv either. Why? Because even though meitzel achshav, even though it's a little bit of a pinch now, sameachu la'acharzman is going to be happy afterwards that he repaid his debt. To which the Gemara says, Amra nachar bar Yitzchak, hanach lehilchos moed. The truth is, you can't bring her out from hilchos chalamoid. Why not? The kulu meitzer achshav simcha la'acharzman. Because they will say, when it comes ultimately again to the halachos of chalamoid, they will say, everything you could do on chalamoid, they will say, remember, if you're a purist, you can't really do malacha on chalamoid. What can you do on chalamoid? Things are both said that ultimately will benefit you. Everything that is permitted on chalamoid is all something that right now, quote unquote, has a little bit of tsar. People say tsar, by the way, doesn't have to mean pain. Tsar could also mean what? Exertion. Right? I could do things in chalamoid that right now are a little bit, quote unquote, painful or exertion laden in order to ultimately, again, go ahead and have benefit afterwards. So what the Gemara is saying is chalamoid is a different kind of animal. Rashi says over here, the kulu, meitzer akshav, komashetiru lasas b'moed, everything that you're permitted to do on chalamoid, meitzerhu ba'osa shah, ba'osa is a little bit of tsar right now, kigon shchita, v'tikun suda, v'tir lo mishum simcha de la'achras v'ashabasal chalamoid. Ba'osa, everything that's permitted on chalamoid, ba'osa has a little bit of tircha, a little bit of tsar right now, and ultimately, again, for what? For some type of benefit that immediately follows. So don't bring a raya from Rabbi Yehuda Shita on chalamoid to what he holds ultimately again by the 3 days before the Yom Tov. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I just lost the place. Oh, Ravina Amar, the Oved Kocham, thank you. So the Gemara says, first of all, don't bring it from Chalamayt, Chalamayt is different. So the Gemara says, Ravina Amar, Oved Kochavim le'inyan piron le'ola meitzar. Ravina says ultimately that Oved Kochavim, when it comes to piron, when it comes to repayment, that is always an ongoing tsar. And therefore, again, Ravina says that the act of repayment by an akum, now we'll discuss why it's by akum, by a Jew, Ravina says by an akum, ultimately, again, the act of repayment of the debt is always a tsar. Therefore, he's boasting Rabbi Huda's position, and that's how one could collect the debt even the 3 days before Yom Tov. Rabbi, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with Masnis and look at Rabbi Yeshua. Bishatov and Maslachas tomorrow. Shkoyach.